written on the board, the Word. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me some about some things about the Word of God and about Christ, and we would sure entreat prayer this morning that the Lord would give us all something good for our souls, that we can profit by the Word. The Word is a precious thing. It's valuable. And it has, I believe, the answers to life in it. In John 1 and 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Now, what was that? That dwelt among us. Was that not our Lord? The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, I just want to think a little bit about that statement this morning. Another scripture says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." You know, that's just on down in that same reading. But we see here that the Word of God was made flesh, and it says He was full of grace and glory. You know, this morning, the Word of God is not alive to everybody. To him that doesn't believe, it's something to argue about. It's something to use as a byword sometimes. But to those that know the Lord, you know, His name is full of grace and glory. You know, that is where the treasures of earth, the treasures of our heart can be unlocked right here. And the Lord has those things. He is full of grace and glory. When we have troubles and when we have needs, when we have questions, you know, the Lord is full of grace and He's full of glory. He's full of grace. When we run out of steam and we don't have anything left, you know what the world does? They don't know what to do. Maybe pop a pill or something and try to forget or drink it away. But you know what those that believe have? It's a living Word, and it's full of grace, and it's full of glory, and it's full of majesty. It's Jesus come to earth and His words given to us this morning. And so as we look a little bit about the Word of God, and we look on back in that chapter where we said, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." You know, the Lord came to bring life to us. He came to bring to us more than just a word. You know, a lot of the precepts in the New Testament, they were listed out in the Old. And you find them one after another. You find all those things written out, many things that the New Testament says, "I want you to love one another. People will know you're my disciples by that." You know, the Lord wants to give us a measure of Himself. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, light in the Scripture, light signifies understanding, doesn't it? Light signifies something that gives. If we didn't have light in this building today, we couldn't even see each other. If it was truly dark in here, we couldn't see the benches. If I walked off of this platform and I didn't know where the steps were, I wouldn't see them. I would stumble and fall. In the Lord, in this life, we have need of light in our everyday living, don't we? We have need of light in our in the things we deal with, in our the people we deal with every day in a business sense. We need light, don't we? We need understanding, because people left to themselves don't do very well. We don't do very well without the Lord. But you know what He came to bring this morning? He is full of grace and He's full of truth. And the Lord has all of that to give us. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, He wants to put that life within us this morning. I want to look at Colossians 2 and 3. And it's quite a contrast we'll draw here in a few minutes of just knowing of the Word and having the Word living within us. It's full of grace and truth. When we understand, when we see our needs, you know, instead of the world blames it on someone else, the world blames their troubles on someone else. They blame it on God sometimes. But you know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to bring light to us. He wants to bring light to us so we understand our need. So we understand where we are with God. And then he's full of grace to deal with that. Listen to this wonderful verse. I love this verse in Colossians 2 and 3. It says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You know, this morning, the Lord, in Him and in the Father, it says the scripture before, in Him is hid all the treasures, all of them, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They're hid in the Lord. It's in His living Word. It's when His Word becomes real in our life and when we begin to eat from it and when it begins to be our daily bread and our drink, as the Lord said He would be to us. When we begin to fill our lives and fill our souls with that, you know what it begins to do for us? Just what food does to our natural bodies. We begin to have strength. We begin to grow. As a child, we begin to grow. You know, the Lord has that for us spiritually. He has that for us in ways that we need. We desperately need this morning. And it says that all the treasures, don't you love that word? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, they're hid in the Lord. They're hid in this Word that so many don't believe. That so many see it as just a book of laws. And sometimes they pick it up. And you hear a lot of teaching coming from the book. And you hear a lot of teaching. But you know what the Lord wants it to be to us? Life. He wants it to be what we feed on. He wants it to sustain us. He wants it when we grow weary, as we all do. You know, the Lord is a God of renewal. He's a God of strength. I've been thinking about that for weeks off and on. You know, the Lord wants to give that life to us and make it alive within us. And the Word of God, He wants it to live in us. Now, how does that happen? It happens naturally. But I will tell you how it doesn't happen. It's when we disregard it or don't obey it. It's when we don't have time for it, or we run off and leave it, or we don't make it the priority of our life, the priority of our life, the number one. Then it begins to become mundane and dull. And life's trials begin to get big and we don't know what to do with them. We're all the same. We need the Lord, don't we, this morning? But in Him is the fullness of all the hid treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in the Lord this morning. You know, in Acts 3 and 16, I want to just think a little bit about the contrast of the Lord and His grace and His strength and His life that He wants to give us. The contrast between that and just knowing of His name. In Acts 3 and 16, it says, "And His name..." Now, this was when Peter and, was it John, I believe, went into the temple, and they saw a man sitting there that was lame. And he looked on them as if they would give him some money. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." And you know, Peter imparted something of life to him. And that man got up and he started leaping and walking and praising God, it says. The Lord blessed him through the life and the power of His Word. You know, when we believe His Word, when the Word is a part of our life, it's enlivening. It can change us from a beggar to one that is praising God and glorifying Him and excited and happy about the things of God in our life. And the Lord wants to do that. And so here was this man. And we read here, it says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. This is the living Word of God. This is not the dead Word of God. This is not something somebody knew of that, yeah, there's the Lord said such and such. This was the living Word of God. And he said, his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, you know, we look at that, and that was amazing. That was an amazing miracle that happened. I've seen some things, but I would like to see that. that was something really amazing to walk up to a man like that. But, you know, I want to look in contrast now to Acts the 19th chapter and the 12th verse. Acts 19 and 12, it says, so that from his body were brought unto the sick, this is Paul's work in Ephesus, were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Now, they knew about this Jesus too, didn't they? But they weren't serving him. They knew that the name of Jesus had great power. And so these seven sons of this high priest decided that they would call his name over some evil spirits. And saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? You know, the name of Jesus has awesome power in it, doesn't it? It's changed many of our lives here today. There's no doubt about it. How the Lord has worked in our lives. And we see a consistency and a life for the Lord for many, many years. It's undeniable what the Lord has done. But you know, to these people, they didn't know the Lord. They just wanted to use His name. They had heard of the name of Jesus. Maybe they had seen some of these things. And so they called out for the name of Jesus that Paul preached to do this. You know, that's the contrast this morning. And the Lord has for us a blessing that the world cannot have. Though they can call on Him and be saved. And sometimes the Lord hears those sinners' prayers. But in this context, trying to use the name of Jesus in that evil way, it didn't work, did it? What a contrast it is between just knowing about the Lord. You know, this morning we have something very precious and very valuable, don't we? We have something that changes the life. It does heal, doesn't it? It does heal the life. It does heal the body. It does heal the mind. It can do that. And He will do that for us as He sees we need. And we found it to be so. And so Paul said in Philippians 3 and 9, listen to this. These are very familiar scriptures here. But he said in 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. They're just refuse. They're just nothing that I might win Christ. He said, and having and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. You know, this morning, I just want to encourage all of us. The devil would love to give us a law experience. He would love for us to know enough of the law that we just try to be good. You know, being good is only getting, it's only getting half of the goods. It's a wonderful thing. It keeps us from a lot of trouble. It blesses our lives in lots of ways. But I'll tell you what the Lord really wants to give us. He wants to give us life. He wants our life to be full of Him, full of grace and full of truth, full of the goodness of God. And so Paul said, he said, I count everything that I've left behind. I count it as refuse. I count it as nothing. He said, and so that I might win Christ. I set my heart to search after Christ. I want to know Him. I want His life. That one that said, that the Lord said, God says, in Him was life. And that life was the light of men. You know, Paul wanted that life to be alive in him, didn't he? He wanted it to be more than something that he had heard about. Something he had seen. Paul had seen some things. I imagine that Paul very well could have been in that room when he saw Stephen's face glow like an angel. And he heard those words. And he held the coats of those that stoned Stephen. Paul was there. He saw the grace of God poured out. And the Lord said later, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Paul, you've seen a lot of things, but you haven't changed your heart yet. You know, this morning, oh, how the Lord wants to get in there and live. How He wants to do more than just give us a set of do-goods and those things. He wants to live in there. He wants to dwell in there. He wants to do things in there. He wants to change us. He wants to take away those negative behaviors. And He wants to begin to make us into somebody that is pleasant and something that is the work of God in our life. The Lord wants to do that. I know there's an instant work in our heart. But I will tell you, from that point on, the Lord just wants to begin to live like a plant, like a flower. Wants to bloom in our life and begin to make us into something that we're not. And so we see Paul here. He says, be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings. Now, if we want just His name, and we just want the power, but we don't want the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ, we're not going to get the power. We're not going to get the life. We have to take Christ as He is. There is a death we have to die. There is a living within us that is a fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. The things that He suffered, we are going to suffer some of those things. But the Lord changes from the inside and makes a change that, for me, I just throw my hands wide open. Lord, I want this. I want You. I want all of You. I don't want just a part of You. I don't want to know about You. I don't want to know the things that You said to do or don't do only. I want to know You. I want the goods. I want the things that makes life what it is, what it's supposed to be this morning. And the power of His that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That Lord bless us today that we might attain to that place with the Lord. You know, I was thinking, want to turn to 2 Corinthians 2 and 15 to 17. We all know a lot. All of us here probably know a lot about the Lord, don't we? Maybe we have some misconceptions about Him. But we know about him. But you know, that's not enough to give us life. The scripture says the devils believe and tremble. Well, look at 2 Corinthians 2 and 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. You know, Paul was writing here. He knew his ministry was not going to be something that everybody patted him on the back over. And so he said, we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death. Do you know when the word of God comes down, it brings a level of condemnation, doesn't it? It makes us to know where we are. It's some of that light that is alive. It's some of that living word that makes us to see. It in him was grace and truth. And it makes us to see where we're at, doesn't it? And so we find that to one, it's the savor of death unto death. And when people reject that light, you know, that is a place where it's eternal. It's something that unless we change from that, we can never be saved. We have to change our heart and be willing and hear the word of God. But it says here, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. That's what the word of God is this morning. Now, some of us sitting here this morning may be just enjoying every scripture means something to us. Every scripture brings more life to our souls. That's what it's meant to be. To others, it may be a condemnation that we draw back from. You know, this morning, what is the word of God to us today? It is made to be alive. He came to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. The Lord came to bring something that changes us from the inside out. He came to bring something that in all the frustrations of life, I will tell you, I've had my share of frustrations of life in the last few weeks. For whatever reason, it's as if the enemy has just decided to put siege on me. Maybe he sees we're going to Honduras. I don't know what the siege is about altogether. But I found that when the Lord wants to work, the devil does that a lot of times. But you know what else I found? I know where my life is. I know where my strength lies. And it's not in me. It's in the Lord. Folks, this morning, it is the savor of life unto life. It is the savor of good things. And the Lord wants to put it into our life. Put it into our heart. He wants it to help us through the difficult places and times of life. We all face those, don't we? Sometimes we face a lot of things. And yes, we have those times as we read about in Pilgrim's Progress. Times of where everything seems like just a Beulah land, just a real glorious place. I know we live in Beulah land all the time, but there's some hard places in life. But you know what we find? There is life and there is light that the Lord wants to share with us this morning. Okay, to the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. All right, Hebrews 4 and 12, and we're all familiar with this scripture too. For the word of God is quick and powerful. You know that word quick? It's alive, isn't it? That's what that means. It's alive and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you know that without this life, without this word being alive, we can't even know our own heart? It is impossible. And so we seek to know the Lord and we search him out. And I just want to encourage us this morning, let the Lord be Lord of your life. Let Him have that place where He infuses into us His strength, where we feed from His Word and we feed from His life. It is only through that that we have strength to face life as it is. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the life. That's the Word of life. That's the Word of life when it's alive, when it means something to us. The Lord wants us to take that into our life and use that. The Word of God is something, it's a powerful thing. When the Word of God was spoken, the worlds were spoken to existence. The heavens were spoken to existence. And you know, the Scripture says that the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same Word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know that same Word of God is powerful enough that this whole world is going to be consumed? That the Lord, the earth being on fire, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat? That same Word of God, and can it not bring us what we need in our life? If it is that powerful, if it is that alive, can it not give us what we need to help us today? Can we not muster up faith and say, Lord, I know You can help me. If You've got that kind of power, that You spoke, and this world came into existence, and Your Son came, and He came to bring life. In Him was life, and that life was for us. It was for the light of men. It was to make us understand how to meet God, how to find God. It was to make us understand how to get through our battles and our trials. Don't we know that sometimes those hard battles and trials that we have to endure a bit, we have to endure a while. You know, the Lord wants us to learn in the midst of that to find life. He wants us to learn. Sometimes we have to stop and step back. That's what I had to do this week. I realized I got to stop. I've got to step back. I've got to get some breath here. Seek the Lord some more and get close to Him. And you know what I found? I found the Lord there in that place. He gave me scriptures. He met me there. You know, this morning in Him was life. The Lord wants to bring us life and more abundant life this morning. In Romans 1 and 16, we just have a few more scriptures here this morning. We're not going to be long. But it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You know, Paul said to the Romans here, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." This morning, that gospel, that word of life, it has power in it this morning. Lord, let us look up in faith and let us believe. Let us draw close with a full heart of assurance, knowing that that one that life is invested in, that life is vested in, that one cares about me too. That one that has the power that was there when the worlds were made, that spoke it into existence, is there for me today. You know, this morning, it can be a savor of death unto death. It can be the sentence upon us. The word will be in the last day, or it can be the savor of life unto eternal life. It can be the savor of life in our heart when we humble ourselves. We hold no excuses. We hold no boundaries on the Lord. Lord, I want You to work in my life. And I give You that. I believe You. I believe there is a God. Do we believe this morning? It's the savor of life. It's that good stuff of life unto eternal life. It gives us life, doesn't it, this morning? I'm not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel of Christ. Paul knew what was in it. He knew the power that was in it. He took this gospel to people that he knew was going to mistreat him. He took this gospel to places where he was stoned. He was mistreated. He was beaten. All those things. But you know what Paul knew in his heart? I've got eternal life to share with folks. And I'm not going to let the devil stop me. I'm not going to let the things that he would throw at me, the stones that would come hurling my way, it's not going to stop me. Because I know in whom I have believed, and I have something to share with these folks today. I feel the same way today. We have something very precious. It has given us the good blessings of life that we have today. Those things in our heart that has kept us from destroying our own selves in the world. You know where those things come from? They come from that life and that light and that grace that God has sent through Jesus Christ. We quoted the scripture a while ago in John 10:10. And we are familiar, most all of us, with this. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Does he not come to your soul and mine? Does he not cast stones just like he did at Paul? Maybe in a different way. Does he not cast whatever he can cast? Does he not try to beat you down from time to time? Well, I want to tell you, we don't have to live there. Paul got up and he went out and he told the folks about the greatness of God right after that. And he went, if you read where he was stoned, Paul got up and he shook himself, I believe it says. And you know what? He went to the next town and he started preaching the gospel again. He had something too precious than to be beat down by a few stones and a few bruises, which I'm guessing he had big ones from those stones hitting him. Didn't stop Paul. He had something precious, something alive, something that lived. This morning, let's take courage, folks. The Lord has given us something very, very precious, and I love it. I have found Him to be my best friend. Shall I take because a few stones come hurling my way, a bunch of stones meant to take me out? Shall I quit? Not on my life. I found something way too precious for that. Something where it gives us strength and it gives us grace today. Oh, let it be the savor of life unto life. Let it be the savor that gives us hope when we go to bed at night. You know what? One of these days, I'm going to wake up in heaven, folks, if I keep walking this way. And I believe the Lord's going to help me to the end. In Matthew 28:17, some of the last things Jesus said before he was crucified, listen to this. 28:17. He said, "And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Now here was the life. Here was life in the flesh, right living before their eyes, and they watched him with great power. They watched all of this. And it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. It'll always be so, folks. We don't have to be in the doubting camp. And it goes on to say, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore," because of that, because there's that kind of power in me, he said, "you go and teach all nations." Don't let the rock stop us. Don't let the things that try to trip us up in life, the responsibilities, all the things that come our way, don't let those things try to trip us up. They will try. Of course they will. But he said, because all power is given unto me, and I open those doors to you, and I make you a partaker of my power and of my strength. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. even unto the end of the world. You know, the Lord's with us always, saints, even unto the end of the world. Doesn't matter what our feelings are at the moment. He's with us always, even unto the end of the world. And when we get up and we shake ourselves off, and we look in the mirror maybe and see the bruises, we go back out and we tell people about the one that does have grace and glory and life and strength and food for the soul, the inner man, that soul that needs to be fed daily, the soul that needs to be able to take abuse and stand back up and have grace and strength. You know what? We need the Lord for that, don't we, folks? We need the Lord for that. And so this morning, I just want to tell you about something you've already heard about this morning. Probably everybody here. The Lord has grace and strength. He has great life for us. It's in Him, folks. That's where we go for our strength. And He said He'd be with us always, even unto the end of the world. So go now. Go and do the will of God. And don't let anything stop us. Don't let the bruises stop us. Don't let those things shut us down. The Lord has work to do, and He has given us a piece of His glorious gospel we heard about this morning in Sunday school. The scripture, the glorious gospel. Don't we love that word? Because it is glorious. It is a blessing to us today. Amen.